It's always a blessing to be at Camp Creek, and certainly a blessing to be with Brother John and Brother Kenneth. Trust you've been praying for the meeting and will continue to do so as I attempt to speak to you tonight. I'd like to turn with you to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. I'll read in your hearing the first eight verses, Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I want to speak to you tonight on the simple subject, but profound subject, that Christianity is actually the gospel. Whatever you think of Christianity this evening, if it is not coupled or deeply affected you with the realization of good news, if what you've called Christianity is something that's been passed on, that you've heard from somebody, in fact, maybe you've even embraced the tenets or the doctrines or certain truths about a group of people called Christians. Perhaps you've actually looked at them and said, yeah, I can go with that. That would work. That's a little rough, but I'll even go with that. And then you say, so I'm a Christian. So I'll act a certain way, and I'll live a certain way, and treat people a certain way, and that makes me a Christian. Oh, my friends, it's something far different than that. When the gospel comes, and that's what the passage specifically said, verse 6, which is come unto you. You know, Charlotte, sometimes she'll have me pick up something on the way home from the office. And the other day, there were three items. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember them right now. But what was so embarrassing is that night I couldn't remember them. So thank the Lord for cell phones. You call while you're going down the aisle and say, I've got this. And what were the other two? And then she said a certain thing that I wouldn't want to repeat because she is a Christian. And it came to me. So what's the point of that silly story? Friends, when something comes and when the gospel comes to you, when it affects you, it changes you, it alters the way you think, it changes the way you feel. You are no longer like you once were. You're not just trying to be something you ought to be, but you actually are different. When the truth you said, yeah, I can go with that, actually become more than something you up here adhere to, but they actually become something down here. Here that have altered your view of the world, your view of others around you that don't believe what you believe, and they have made you a person that others might even like to be around. Perhaps the gospel has come unto you. Now, why am I saying all that? Well, Let's just erase for a few moments what we usually think about Christianity. We usually think of it as perhaps an organization, perhaps, again, certain things we believe. We tack onto it, perhaps, a certain type of behavior, and we're following in that vein. But back here to the Colossians, when the gospel came to them by Epaphras, it specifically tells us in this passage that it caused several things. It caused them to be a loving people. It caused them to be a people that had great hope, not in the things in this world, but in things in another world. And it caused them to have great faith, so much so that Paul was thanking the Lord for them, and they were a blessing to one another. So I'd ask you boys, you know, you're all lined up here on the front pew tonight. Are you all Christians? He said, well, of course we are. Well, let me ask your siblings if you're Christians. It begins to make a little difference, doesn't it? Or we could ask the husbands if their wives are Christians. Or maybe ask the wives, and I'm so thankful Charlotte isn't here, because you might ask her tonight, if I'm a Christian or not. You see, if something has come and affected you to such a degree it's changed who you are, then perhaps the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, has come unto you. It was a phenomenon. It wasn't just a tradition that was followed. This was just a small group of people. They had been converted, and they would meet together, not just because it was habit, but because they wanted to. And when they gathered together, they had something on their mind that they could not get off their heart. And it was what Christ had done for them, though they did not deserve it. And they wanted to get together and talk about it and learn more about it. It was a phenomenon. We gathered in at the kids last night, and the first thing, I think within 5 minutes, we were watching this video. I know Drew's all embarrassed now, but I don't know what this project is, something about robotics, but there's this drone that they've purchased. Yeah, really a drone. And they've learned how to take care of it and take pictures way above the house and all. I mean, that's a phenomenon. It's like, whoa. This is cool. You know, this is out there. Now, if somebody would have told me to come, we were going to see this, I wouldn't have been much interested. But once it got me, friends, it's different. What is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to you? I'm serious, brethren. Serious as a heart attack. What is the Savior to you? It's the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's Paul, an apostle, in other words, one that tells about these things, and Timotheus, who also did that, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. The men at Oak Hill gather on occasion, about once a month, and we try to study a Bible subject, and afterwards it may morph into something. You know, it was profound Bible study I've delivered unto them, but for some odd reason, sometimes they begin to morph off in, you know, other veins that are far less, you know, of a blessing to them. And this one night, though, we had this dear brother there who had no past with Christianity. In fact, he's from China, came here to go to school. God got a hold of him. Totally changed his heart. While one day I was speaking, he began to sob on the pew to the point it appeared he would fall off the pew, and one of the deacons went over to put his arm around him to keep him from just going into convulsions, it appeared. So this night at this Bible study, We got off into a very important subject, politics, after my wonderful lesson, you know. And Brother Xing Lai speaks up. He says, I have a question for y'all. I said, okay. He said, when I'm introduced in America as a Chinese and they ask me about myself, he said, this is what I say. I'm a Christian. Have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? His heritage, his race, his education is not prominent. It's who Christ is to him. So he said, I have a question for y'all. He said, if you travel to China with me, and they ask you, and he said, in China now, nobody's that I've been acquainted with there, we know there's a lot of house churches, but the people he is related to and, you know, mixes with, they're not Christians. And he said, when they ask you about yourself, what is it they need to hear? And what is the greatest news you have to convey to them? I'm an American. Thank the Lord you're an American. But that's not Christianity. Paul wrote about these people who had been grasped, captured, altered deep in their souls by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the first thing? If nothing else, what is the first thing we ought to think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if we didn't do anything else, but just notice by definition what it ought to be to us, it's good news for sinners. Good news for sinners. Have you noticed from the very beginning of the announcement of the gospel, it was good news? I mean, here we have in Luke 1 and 13, the wife, of course, of Zacchaeus is going to bear, Elizabeth is going to bear a son. And you remember that Mary came to visit her. And his mouth was opened and he said his name would be called John. And then we have this profound statement. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And his father, I said Zacchaeus, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. I mean, friends, it's like, that's what was in here, that's what was coming out. Has the gospel come to you? You say, yeah, I believe it. How far has it come to you? Maybe here, here? Did it get all the way down to the heart? That's the point here. When, listen, you can't get around this thought. Luke 1 and 28, the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And at his birth, you know what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The gospel was not arguing. There's a place to stand for truth. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if all you're doing is standing, is that Christianity? Friends, it wasn't in this early experience. Paul says the glorious gospel of the blessed God was committed to my trust. Friends, this is phenomenal, astounding, good news. So Christianity is truth. Of course it's truth. Of course it's absolutes. Of course it has a specificity to it. Of course it's not just something out there. But friends, it's the Holy Spirit pressing it in so that it becomes part of who I am, and I'm never the same once it has become a part of me. It has to be that way. And the reason that we know that Christianity is not just a bare fact, the reason that we know it's not a philosophy, and the reason we know is that it's not just something that was handed down to us, is from this very account when it says, since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that you have to the saints and the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And he said, and your belief in the word of the truth of the gospel that came to you as it did also in all the world. He then says they had a thankfulness, something that deep within, you would notice that later in the verse that I didn't read. But friends, I know you're not carnal like I am. I mean, I'm telling you, by nature, my heart is as hard as a rock. Now, I'm not saying just before I was converted. I'm saying every day, unless God does something for me, my heart is as cold as a stone. Do you know I can flip out just, you know, like going to the office and the traffic's bad. I've allowed 20 minutes to get there. And some idiot pulls over in front of me. And's texting. If Charlotte's with me, I don't do some things. But if she's not, I talk to them. It's not that it does any good, but it helps me. It's not Christianity, and it's certainly not gospel. Friends, when the gospel comes, it's not that we don't have those moments, but underneath and abiding generally is a thankfulness and a joy that keeps us from absolutely coming apart at the seams. Because there is something far more deep within us. Well, how do you know if the gospel is coming unto you as we're trying to describe? How do we know? Well, a Christian is someone who doesn't just agree with the words and affirmations, but a Christian is someone that within, as I've said so many times, to whom the gospel gets them above anything else that's ever grabbed them. In fact, you'll notice in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, he says, the gospel shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he means in the beginning, when Christianity, when you begin to think about it, it's not that you're investigating it. It's that the gospel begins to investigate you. That's when Christianity's beginning to come to you. You're not the investigator. It's investigating you. How else would have these people been converted? They didn't know about Christianity. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't know what the gospel was. They couldn't set themselves up to analyze it. The gospel came to them and began to teach them some things about themselves, and it was no longer just a truth. It was a force. It was an affection. It was more than assertions. It was something that grabbed them, and they had to do something with it. Now, when the gospel begins to come to you, then it's investigating you instead of you investigating it. And it may not be coming in some huge way. I wish that would happen. I used to think sanctification was instantaneous. It never had happened to me, but I was hoping it would someday. And then I learned that sanctification more than likely is a process. That's a bummer, you know. I really would like for it to happen quickly. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He was a rising star in the medical field, thinking the world that he saw would be changed by medicine, and thank the Lord for medicine and all the saving they do in their realm. But he had a staff member at the hospital where he was, whose girlfriend had died. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said that his staff member, another doctor, went over and sat down. Now, they were both up and coming in the medical field. Both had large careers in front of them. Both would have done worlds of good and would have been esteemed by many and would have blessed multitudes. In other words, they had everything in their life. And Martin Lloyd-Jones tells that his colleague went over by the window, sat down, sat there still for hours without a word being said. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Something got me." And he said, "If all life is going to be is my career path, and what people are going to think of me, this is an empty life." And he says, "The gospel began to investigate me about what I was about and where I was going. It came ever so small, but it came. The gospel came to Abraham, didn't it? He was in the land of the Chaldees. Far as I know, he had a good job, you know, had family around him. Far as I know, things were going well. But suddenly he was drawn because God had appeared and he knew there was something else. There was something else." Same way with Moses. I suppose it was a nice life being royalty in Egypt. I mean, I can't see anything wrong with it. Something got him. Wasn't to be the big shot. I mean, you know, pastoring a church, you know, I think I call Brother John and say, "Oh, you wouldn't believe what's happened. I've got so many problems." I mean, Moses, you know, a couple million folks. I mean, you go out of town for just a few days. I mean, you go to the mountains. I know he's up on Mount Sinai, but anyway, it makes a better story. And not really. And making a golden calf. What's up with that? He says, "This isn't what I chose." He said, "Lord, I think I'd like to change professions." God says, "Well, we can do away with them if that's what you'd like." You know the story. He says, "If I'm going to go on with these people, what?" What did he say? "Show me thy glory." It's astounding what kept Moses on track. He saw the glory of God, and then the Lord said to him, the Lord God merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You remember Moses had buried a guy in the sand? Moses is wanting to do away with these people, right? I mean, they're bad people. Sudden something's investigating Moses. Suddenly it's Moses that has some sin that needs to be dealt with. Suddenly Moses needs these words. The Lord, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And the astounding thing about that is then it said, who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children under the third and fourth generation. And you say, I can't live with that. How can I live if you're marking iniquity and sins are passed on? Only if you get the gospel. It says the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came from glory. Not to pay for sins in general. Not to just pay for the sins of the elect. Not to just pay for your sins that you used to have. But to pay for my sin when I'm in that car on the way to the office to study the Bible all day long. And I need him as desperately to cover me with his grace. In fact, more so than the first day I believed. Has the gospel come to you? Well, I'm sure it has. But it needs to come to us every single day. In a profound way, so that we are amazed, astounded that he saves sinners, that he saved a sinner like me. And what do we need to pray? I need to be more diligent, don't you know? I need to do better. Every one of you do too. I don't even know you, but I know that's a fact. So I think I'll whip y'all into shape. Doesn't work that way, friends. It works by a sinner being so overwhelmed that Christ on that tree was dying for their sins of the day. Of the day that they love him with all their heart and like Xing Lai. I think it's the most important thing that's ever been.